Robin McCarron. Jeff Hawkins.
Is it? Can it be? It is! The phenomenal one is here! AJ Styles!
Oh my God!
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE. Styles is here!
I'm the one who will take chances, not worry about the backlash. Magic Johnson.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. There's a backlash.
Yeah.
Speaking of taking chances, by the way, what chances did you really need to take to just sit there at a table while ping pong balls determined whether your team has a good season next year or not? How convoluted is the NBA draft process?
Are you insinuating that it's a fair process?
No, I'm not. No, I'm insinuating that it's a convoluted process.
I think
the Sacramento Kings get in the top five, then guess what? They don't pick in the top five. What?
Yeah, it's
come on.
It's a made for TV thing now that probably shouldn't be a thing. It's like watching office politics in wrestling on a TV show about wrestling, which nobody cares about. The draft is just, it's one of those fun little things for halftime, that's all.
Joel Embiid had the reaction that everyone else was having. Like, all right, just say who picks where. Quit telling me how they got there. Just tell me who picks where. That's it.
Ugh. Did you watch Talking Smack at all?
Nope.
This week?
I did not, because when
Eric Rowan was fantastic on that show, I never thought I'd hear that.
Well, no, because Eric Rowan hasn't really gotten the chance to talk much. Just those few weeks where he was the Vintner and they were figuring out what to do with him, but he hasn't really had a chance to talk much.
He did a combination of Bray Wyatt and prop comic Dean Ambrose, and it worked, and it was pretty darn great. And then Asuka this week on NXT had a great... She channeled her, just because you talked sports at the top, she channeled her inner Drew Rosenhaus.
Oh, okay.
It's like, we now go to an interview with Asuka, and she's in a truck, and all she says is, next question, is this interview over? And then she goes out and pretends to be a woman of the people taking pictures. It was pretty fantastic. NXT is pretty good this week, by the way.
NXT, well, it's the go-home show for NXT TakeOver coming up this weekend. We finally learned what Roderick Strong is going to be doing, and we have NXT TakeOver to talk about tonight. We have WWE Backlash to talk about tonight, as well as the big question that really everyone's been asking lately. Is Jinder Mahal the next Hulk Hogan? We're going to get into that a little bit later on.
Is everybody asking that?
Everybody's been asking. Like, they're wondering, is this guy the next big thing? And you know what? The answer may surprise you. Speaking of surprise, this is a surprise main event, really. Jinder Mahal coming out of nowhere from Raw to be the main event of a SmackDown pay-per-view against Randy Orton. We talked a little bit last week about how this was the brand splittiest of brand split pay-per-views. Do you feel any different than that? Are you starting to feel more like that? What do you think about heading into Backlash?
It's very odd because, and just a quick plug for me, I was on AfterBuzz last night for the SmackDown post show, and it changed my entire view of what this card might end up being. You are correct in that it is the most brand splittiest of brand split pay-per-views, but it's not as cut and dry in terms of results as I previously thought, because there are people out there who are going against the conventional wisdom of how WWE usually books, thinking that all these feuds, or at least most of them, are just going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So you may get some unexpected winners in here. And that's what I've started to really think about when it comes to kind of, look, I'm no expert prognosticator. I just know what I think.
Which is the difference for me, because I often don't have any clue what I'm going to think or what I do think. I may change my mind a few times during this very episode.
It was just weird being on that panel and hearing more than one person going, no, I think Sami Zayn will beat Baron Corbin. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
I think
it could be the start of a feud there. And you know, I mean, like every match it was like, okay, here's the logical reasoning of how WWE does booking. And then it would be like two people going, no, I think they're going to go the other way because I just think this is going to continue. And I'm just like, wow. Okay.
I think Sami Zayn's beating Baron Corbin too, because I think he's going to have to take the role of that number two babyface spot. I guess Randy Orton is a babyface, but AJ Styles is a guy that it seems like they made a mistake putting him where he is for this pay-per-view because he needs to get away from the mid-card as soon as possible. And that's where Kevin Owens is at the moment. And Kevin Owens keeps bringing up Chris
Jericho. They don't view it that way. They view them as main eventers carrying the secondary title just in case this Jinder Randy thing goes to crap.
I don't mean to disparage by saying like it's super mid-card. Yes, they're close to the top tier, but AJ being in the US title feud and not the main event feud, like AJ and Randy Orton to me is where it's going, and they'll get AJ away from here, so someone has to step up, and Randy Orton could be a heel after this for all we know. I don't know how long Jinder Mahal is going to be up there, and maybe we'll get a surprise. But we'll talk about this Backlash show Friday, and this is going to play into our NXT TakeOver talk. Friday, the WWE is airing the first of the UK specials that they taped when they were on their UK tour last week. And this UK special is kind of important. One, Jim Ross is calling it. And two, one of the matches for TakeOver on Saturday night is made on this special. So, of course, we will talk about the match that is happening on TakeOver. But a nice little weekday special. And it just made me think how I miss NXT TakeOvers being on weekdays, being on Wednesday nights. I mean, it's cool for the prestige to be on a Saturday night. But I miss my little Wednesday night, 2-hour little TakeOver specials that felt exactly that. They felt special. They weren't tied to a WWE pay-per-view. They were own little special event. I miss the weekday specials. I wish they went back to them. I don't even know if you have to put TakeOver back on Wednesday nights. Have a WWE special on Wednesdays, or have these UK things that aren't a weekly television show. Have them every once in a while. Why not? You know what you could do with this 205 Live? If you made it a monthly special instead of a weekly show, have the Cruiserweights on Raw, and then guess what? On Wednesday nights at 8 or whatever, you have a 2-hour Cruiserweight-only pay-per-view, and it's called 205 Live. Something like that.
Yeah, I can do without seeing the same four guys in the same kind of main event every week on 205
Live. It's the same guys, and then every once in a while, the opener will have someone new. Like, Máscara Dorada was on there this week, and then you'll have Lince Dorado. Like, you have the different guys that are like, oh, they're still around. They're still here in the WWE Cruiserweight division. But otherwise, it's become, the same show.
Yeah, what's your opinion, or if you have any strong opinion on Jim
Ross? I have so many strong opinions.
On Jim Ross.
It's a Friday night special that no one's going to watch anyway. Like, some people will watch it. It's content. I'll probably check it out for the main event, but it's whatever. I don't think Jim Ross is great to be announcing full pay-per-views anymore. I don't think he's that great. He hasn't been impressive on New Japan television the last year.
Exactly. I am Jim Ross agnostic, I think, is what I'm
not
thinking.
He's not the same Jim Ross
He's not the same. He's not the guy from the Attitude Era. He's this standard in which we fantasy book him coming back and getting his fastball again. And I think that ship has sailed.
Those days are gone.
I do. And I still look, and I come from it still having a sour taste in my mouth in terms of him leaking that management was unhappy to undermine Michael Cole when Michael Cole got his gig. I still have some harsh feelings about that from time to time, but overall, I've been watching Ross and I'm like, I know he wants to do play by play, but there comes a time when you're not that guy anymore that everybody remembers lovingly. And I think that time has come for Jim Ross. I do. I loved Jim Ross in early 90s, late 80s, WCW, when he was with Schiavone. That's possibly my favorite play-by-play team, those two together, one-upping each other. But I just, to be honest with you, I never was high on him and the King as much as other people were. They were good, but I never really held that in high esteem. to be honest. But I just, it's like Jim Ross is coming back. I'm like, okay, great. You know,
well, we got
this Rich Brent from time to time. So,
you know, I don't really miss him too much, but what are you going to do?
Well, I don't hold him to some high standard either, but you know what? You got to get some guys on that bench other than Tom Phillips.
We got WWE Backlash coming up.
But first, I want to thank ZipRecruiter for joining us on Shake Them Ropes. You've heard about ZipRecruiter everywhere, and now it's time to give them a try. If you need to fill the roster at your business with great talent, whether it's the Four Horsemen, the NWO, or Jinder Mahal and the Bollywood Boys, you know that a great team can be legendary. Your business does not have to be any different. You can't find the best candidates for your team on just one job site. You need to post on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter posts your job on 100 plus job sites with just one click. Instead of the candidates finding you, ZipRecruiter finds candidates with their powerful technology that matches the right people to the right position. No juggling emails, no wasting time fielding so many calls that go nowhere. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Right now, Shake Them Ropes listeners can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/shake to try ZipRecruiter for free right now. That's ZipRecruiter.com/shake. Try it free today. ZipRecruiter.com/shake.
WWE Backlash from Chicago, Illinois, happening on Sunday. The pre-show match, Ty Dillinger. Yes, he is on the main roster, if you have forgotten. Ty Dillinger and Aiden English. Aiden English, a guy who has gone nowhere fast once Simon Gotch was released. And he's not going to go anywhere from here. This is a crowd pleaser to start a show. Ty Dillinger is going to get the win in probably about 6 to 8 minutes. He'll take the heat for most of the match and then he'll come back strong. Ty Dillinger is going to be victorious in the first match of the evening.
I have one slight disagreement that this Aiden English thing isn't going anywhere.
It's going nowhere.
It's going nowhere in the grand scheme of things, but this breakdown crying thing is going to continue and continue to heighten, I think.
Really? I don't.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think it amuses somebody.
Well, that, I mean, yeah, but that's the difference between it going somewhere and it continuing.
It's going to become a character, and it's going to continue being a character. And there's a chance that, like some characters, people may start to take a liking to it.
I tweeted out something because Sean Ross Sapp, friend of the show. He tweeted about, he said Alicia Fox could be one of the outstanding characters on Raw if allowed to be. And I don't take any issue with that. I think that's true. But I think that's true for almost everyone on the show, everyone on both rosters. If they really wanted to go all out with them, they could. I tweeted back, really anyone on the roster has an outstanding chance to be great if given the chance, except for Ziggler and Curt Hawkins. I don't think Curt Hawkins can do anything no matter what. And someone actually responded to me, and this is where I want to get you in this. Someone responded to me that they went to a WWE house show on the SmackDown side, and Curt Hawkins was on the show, and he got the second most heat of anybody, as if trying to infer that Curt Hawkins is a great heel. Curt Hawkins is nobody.
Well,
he's a
to your
solid guy.
Point. To your bigger point, it goes to us going, well, if they do this right.
If they do it right.
You know, that's always the big,
yeah,
big
if they do
disclaimer.
It right. But who's
Man,
to say what's right?
Alicia Fox, if they gave her a chance, could be really great.
They gave her, she's a former women's champion, former Divas champion, I believe.
And she's very good in the ring,
yeah,
I think.
She's a perfectly fine character, and everyone has their role to play. Not everyone can be the main event superstar of the world, right? And you know who never will be? Curt Hawkins. 100%.
I feel like
never.
You're channeling some like animosity towards me into Curt Hawkins. I don't know why that is.
Just that last name.
I know.
Draws red.
And by the way, I gave Sean Ross Sapp this note. Not enough talk about me on your Twos podcast. I'm quite upset by that.
Oh yeah? Did I do a podcast with him lately?
I think you did.
Oh my gosh. I must have been really drunk.
You talked a lot of baseball, so people won't want to listen to it.
Boo. Baseball is great. Baseball is fantastic. How about that Justin Smoke having himself a season? Anyway, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, the battle of the former best friends, we think. They may not have ever actually been friends. Bray Wyatt just had them both under a spell, and Luke Harper was like the big brother and just pushing Eric Rowan around. Rowan got a win recently on SmackDown. Now the two go into a singles match at Backlash. The crowd's going to be heavily behind Luke Harper. Could this be the big heel push for Eric Rowan, though? Or does Luke Harper get the win? I think, Jeffrey, that we're going to see a Luke Harper victory here. And it's going to mean nothing. Like, Luke Harper ain't going to Bray Wyatt next. Luke Harper ain't going to Randy Orton next. And hell, by the end of this year, Rowan and Harper might be a team again anyway.
I'm thinking that. That's exactly... I'm thinking this becomes the Cesaro-Sheamus feud of SmackDown.
Putting these two guys together that hate each other, even though they were tag teams. Two different times they have turned on each other, by the way, and they've regained their tag team. Two times.
That's their move. They're the dysfunctional family.
This would be the third time this happens if they go their separate ways and team up again.
I really don't know who wins. I think it depends on how they viewed that interview on Tuesday and if they think, well, maybe we can do something with Rowan now because we've already tried with Harper. So I hold out a very strong chance that Eric Rowan wins this match.
Has anything on Talking Smack actually mattered, like, on regular television, except for that one week where Daniel Bryan and The Miz got into it? Has anything actually mattered on Talking Smack?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm just saying that if they watched that and somebody had an idea that maybe they would. I mean, I overall think Luke Harper will win this.
Yeah, I think Luke Harper's getting the victory. I think it's going to be a resounding victory. He may even demand a universal title shot. What do you think about that? Luke Harper and Brock at Great Balls of Fire.
I'd take that.
Yeah, it's not happening. It's not happening. I don't know exactly who is going for Brock. I just know it's not Luke Harper. Before we get into the rest of the matches on the show, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, star of Baywatch coming out Friday. Jeff, is that an opening nighter for you?
That's not even a wait to video for me.
What? Baywatch is so an open. I'd go Thursday night. I would do the,
midnight screening.
You know, they don't do midnight showings anymore. Like, they don't do midnight showings out here. I don't know if they do where you are, but we don't have midnight showings anymore. When a big movie comes out and it's opening weekend, the first screenings are like at an 8 o'clock and a 9 o'clock on Thursday the night before. We don't have midnight showings anymore. Is that a thing that's, I wonder if that's just like Indiana? Cause we don't have the option for midnight showings anymore. When Star Wars came out, no midnight showings, 8 and 9 o'clock the night before. Is that a thing out there?
Not out here, but it was when I was younger, you were just a little baby. I mean,
it was the big thing. I think it was the Batman, the Dark Knight. I think it was the one with the Joker at a midnight showing. But we don't have midnight showings anymore. And that was only, 8 years ago, 10 years ago?
I did Jurassic Park that way.
Yeah.
And I remember the big to-do about Dick Tracy. You'd get the shirt with the ticket on it for the midnight showing.
Yeah. It was a big event.
Yeah.
People would dress up.
Now you know what I think it was? I think it was the crime issue. I think people were worried about that, so they stopped doing it. And they just said, okay, 7 o'clock it is.
It is safer. But, I mean, I remember seeing Argo at a midnight showing. True story.
To a midnight showing of Argo?
I did. And guess how many people were there? My buddy and I. And that was it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I can't talk. I remember the first time a movie came out on Christmas night, I went to see it. And it was The Godfather Part 3.
There must have been, because I don't think the theater would have only had a midnight showing of Argo. I believe it came out the same weekend as some of their bigger movie. But we were there for Argo, and we were the only two people there.
Well, not to get too far into the weeds, but like AMC used to have like Friday and Saturday midnight screenings of just like different movies all the time.
Yeah.
It'd be like your cult, like heavy metal would be on heavy rotation for those, and like Spinal Tap and things of that nature. But they don't do that anymore either.
Yeah, Taken came out. I don't think that would have been the movie. Sinister? No, that must not have been it. Here Comes the Boom, that must have been it. That was the big movie. No. I don't even know what movie would have come out that would be the big opening weekend. It had to have been Taken, I guess. But no idea. Anywho, we got another big match here to talk about. We kind of mentioned it earlier. Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin. You think it's odd that Sami Zayn might get the win here?
After Corbin took the loss on SmackDown, yes.
I guess so.
But there are people who are going, oh no, I think Sammy, you know, gets a roll up after taking a whole lot of punishment, and then this feud continues for a month. And I was like, that sounds like something they might do.
I guess to call for a Sami Zayn win, you really have to have an idea that they might do something with Sami Zayn elevated either against the Kevin Owens, which Dolph Ziggler is going to need something to do after this, right? Dolph Ziggler is going to need something to do because he's, you know, taking the loss against Shinsuke. So there's places you can put these guys. I don't know what you do with Baron Corbin. He's not going with Randy Orton right away. He's not going to face off with Kevin Owens unless he's like next for AJ. I don't know.
That might be.
Maybe this match doesn't really mean anything, and Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin will be battling. Well, what's the next pay-per-view? Isn't it Money in the Bank? I think that's a SmackDown pay-per-view. So I guess you really don't need to have any feuds extended here because you're going to put everyone in the ladder anyway at Money in the Bank. So nothing really has to go anywhere. Money in the Bank is in the middle of June. That's the next pay-per-view in St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri. We have Money in the Bank 2017 already, by the way, has a match basically booked for it with Rusev demanding a title shot. You think that's going to go somewhere, or is Rusev just the crazy guy demanding things that he won't get?
As we go along, I'll get into it.
But do you think it's going to happen? Do you think Rusev is getting a title match at Money in the Bank?
Yes.
Against Randy Orton, right? It won't be Jinder.
I think it's going to be a three-way.
Ooh. And Jinder and Rusev were former tag team partners. We could have some history here. Interesting. Do you think that's interesting? Yes. Do you think people would be interested in a Rusev, Randy, and Jinder three-way match? I would.
Overall, no.
I'd be big into it.
But I think that's how they get themselves out of this Rusev-Shane thing.
Rusev-Shane thing. There's no Shane things. First of all, Shane is the worst television character in the history of Earth at this point. He's bad. He used to be good.
He's not worse than JBL.
He doesn't care. I don't know if he's... I mean, if you're just looking purely at on-screen characters, I don't think he's better than JBL. What's so bad about JBL? Just that sometimes he says things in his... you know, outside of the on-screen character that are ridiculous. I'm not talking about his bring it to the table. I'm talking about like SmackDown and talking smack.
Shane doesn't make me want to put on mute.
Okay.
He may be boring and checked out from time to time, but he's never cringeworthy to the point where I put on mute and watch everything.
All right. I'm going to go Baron Corbin getting the win. I've changed my mind. I'm going Baron Corbin.
I'm going Corbin as well.
Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler. This is Shinsuke Nakamura's first official pay-per-view match on the main roster. First TV match on the main roster. Worked some house shows. Been on house shows for the last year on the main roster outside of NXT. But Shinsuke's getting the big one here. Dolph is going to want to have the match of all time. And if Shinsuke, I mean... part of me thinks this match is going to be really funny because Dolph Ziggler is going to go out there and have like an all-time classic match, and Shinsuke is going to get lost at some point. Like, what is this crazy MF-er doing? Like, this guy is going a little nuts, even for me. And I don't know if it's going to gel 100%. I'm really interested to see how this match transpires. I don't think the result is unpredictable. Shinsuke Nakamura is getting the win. What happens next for Shinsuke is odd. I mean, what the hell? Are you going to put him in the Money in the Bank ladder match? Like, is he going to be in a ladder match in his second pay-per-view and not win?
This was another of those weird ones where people said, oh, no, I could see Dolph winning by DQ so that they have to do another match. That way you don't have Shinsuke in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
And I think that's probably the way you go, because I don't think you put Shinsuke in a ladder match, in a Money in the Bank ladder match, nor do you put him in the title picture quite yet. Let the people really see what he's about and get that groundswell of support behind him before you actually put him in a title picture, because he's not ready for the title picture. Not that he's not ready, but we're not ready for him to be in the title picture. There's other things to continue.
I think there's more than one match in this program. I think it eventually gets heightened to something like maybe even a 30-man Iron Man on a brand pay-per-view somewhere.
You have WWE doing undefeated streaks all the time. I mean, Asuka currently has her unpinned streak going on. We have a lot of new faces that come up to the main roster and they don't lose anytime soon. They don't lose, especially right away. I mean, Finn Balor just had his, first loss on Raw with Roman Reigns. I think that was his first TV loss in a singles match. I wonder if they're going to have Shinsuke lose first night in. screwy terms, probably screwy terms.
Yeah, not
and then
clear.
We have the big match at Money in the Bank. This could be an issue where they don't want to have another undefeated streak or another situation like this, where they can just give him a screwball loss right off the bat.
Yeah.
But would you call for that? Like you
would I call for that? No.
Well, if I give you $5 right now and I say, hey, this $5 can turn into 20, but you have to put it on the right guy, who are you putting it on?
Shinsuke.
Free money. You're putting it on Shinsuke because you're taking the odds. You're taking the best bet. The best, most likely scenario is Shinsuke Nakamura winning this match.
Yeah. I'm taking the one that makes him the better star. And I think winning does that. And I don't think they're going to blow that after all this build.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Over under on the match length, 12 minutes. 12 minutes for the match length for Shinsuke and Dolph.
I think it's right about at 12, so I'm going to go with the over.
Over on 12. Okay, so it's 12:05. We got that. 12:05.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had a contract signing for a 6-woman tag team match. We do not have a SmackDown Women's Championship match on this show. Naomi, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch against Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina. Does Charlotte Flair remain a babyface coming out of this?
This is where my mind and fantasy booking gets in trouble, because I can think of great scenarios here where they do the old, you know, assassins and Oli down.
If only WWE would do the right thing.
Yeah, if only you know, you'd have the, you know, and I was it's odd because early in the week, right after we recorded, I was thinking about this match. I'm like, you know, this welcoming committee, they all have a common strain in that they're all second generation wrestlers. And you know who else is? Yeah. Charlotte. So then she could join.
They don't really play that up with Carmella, though.
Yeah. Or maybe Becky, you know, finally turns heel because she wants to turn heel. Look, I think here's what happens. I think Charlotte's just going to be a terrible, cocky babyface for a while until they figure out they have to turn her back heel. And I think there's going to probably be some miscommunication on the babyface's part since they're playing that up a bit. And I think it's possible the heels steal one here. I my bet is on the babyfaces, but man, I'm really thinking that even though Carmella got the pin, that Ellsworth somehow figures into like maybe like Becky getting rolled up or something to that effect.
Yeah, I would go better than not that the welcoming committee gets the win somehow.
Yeah.
And they could go Charlotte Flair, Becky, with Naomi facing someone from the welcoming committee for the title. I just don't think Charlotte is long to be a babyface right now.
In a perfect booking scenario.
Uh-huh.
According to you, it's perfect. I have Naomi get jumped early in the show. And so it's Charlotte and Becky versus the other three. Mm-hmm. And they do the whole Halloween Havoc 97 thing.
Okay.
Where Charlotte's on the outside and Becky's, you know, the baby face who's been fighting the odds the whole time. And she tags in Charlotte. And Charlotte comes in and just starts kicking Becky. That's what I'd do. But I don't think it's going to go that way. I think there's going to be miscommunication and probably Becky gets rolled up.
Yeah. So far, is that your third roll-up finish of this show so far?
No, I put out potential.
I put out
Sami Zayn as a potential roll up. Well, they do that. They love the distracted roll up finishes. Don't tell me they don't.
I won't. I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't tell you that at all.
Let me tell you, there's been some weird ideas I have heard from people that I respect.
What are the winners of these matches? Give me the weirdest ones.
That the Fashion Police get a run with the tag title so that they accessorize them and make themselves into more characters.
Oh, well, they totally should. Let's talk about the Usos, Breezango. We have the tag team titles for the SmackDown side. Another match that makes this the most brand split pay-per-view of all time. The Usos are the champions, which, you know, I've been watching SmackDown the last few weeks. I saw the Usos win the tag team belts. I saw their promo last night. I knew the Fashion Police were taking them on for the titles. And I still thought for a half an hour today, not a half an hour straight, but over the course of like a half an hour, I'm like, who are the SmackDown tag champs? I'm like, oh, it must be the Usos. No, it can't be the Usos. Oh, I guess it is the Usos if they're facing Breezango. Maybe there's not a title match on this pay-per-view. No, it's got to be the Usos. That was me going back and forth. I think the Fashion Police win.
You went through all that just to bait and switch me, didn't you?
Fashion you... police? They're on the rise, and the Usos are still useless.
No, the Usos had a fantastic promo last night. It's as close as I get to a real fight promo. And I think they're holding off the Usos for the New Day promo battle. I don't think the Fashion Police get a run here.
No,
I think this match is the one I think over delivers. Though I think this match is going to be very, very good.
Oh, I do too. I expect it to be quite fun. The New Day's coming soon. You're waiting for Kofi to get healed up. It seems like the Usos and the New Day would be the way you go. But they can also go up against Breezango. How fun would that be? The New Day. Breezango, you can make them all friends too. I don't even care. You make them rivals and friends at the same time, and they're dancing all giddy like all over the place. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You know, on SmackDown at some point and some point soon, we're gonna have Breezango and the New Day in some type of like 8-man tag team match where they're tag team partners, and it's gonna be one of those 20-minute SmackDown matches that's right in the middle of the show, and it's gonna be great. It's gonna be fantastic. And I'm going to call it the match of the year. It's going to be the match of the year in WWE. Book it right now. Eight man tag.
Who's going to tag with the Usos? What heel team?
Ascension.
You're going to make that match of the year?
Kurt Hawkins and Aiden English.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, they're not going to be in it too much.
The Colognes. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, probably the Colognes.
Or the Colons, as Anna Bauer calls it.
Oh, why not? Do you think the Colognes are still like super hyped about Puerto Rico? They just don't talk about it as much because Puerto Rico is more of a winter destination for folks. Because right now you could just go to like Georgia and get the weather. You don't really need to go all the way to Puerto Rico. Look, so they're just taking time off.
I'm relieved they're no longer con men. Okay.
Why they got to be con men, man? Why you got to do that to the Colognes?
That's what their gimmick was.
That they were con men? No, yes, they were super excited about Puerto Rico.
Timeshares are a con.
Okay. All right. If you say so. I mean, I'm just thinking they were, you know, happy about their homeland and wanting to get people to go there. And they're just super excited about it. That's all. I think. Okay. What? Fine. Whatever. Speaking of Made in America, we got Kevin Owens defending the U.S. championship. Against
the United States of America Championship.
It is the United States of America Championship. Kevin Owens, born and bred in the great US of A, defending this title. He's the face of America, taking on AJ Styles. AJ Styles has no business not being in the main event of SmackDown and SmackDown pay-per-views. Kevin Owens gets the win here. Does Chris Jericho make an appearance, or is Chris Jericho gone for a while?
Chris Jericho is gone for a while.
Not even making an appearance. Because he doesn't have to come back, you know. He can just show up on a Sunday and be like, hey, I'm going to help AJ Styles out.
No, but that would distract from the story, which is going to be about AJ Styles' knee and how Kevin Owens works on it. Because that was set up on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And I hope Kevin Owens continues to take certain aspects of Chris Jericho's gimmick as the longer Chris Jericho is gone. Like, I want him to front a metal band. I want him to host a game show. I want him to do all those things.
He should. He should do a lot of cool things with it. Why not? Just take everything that was Jericho. Fozzy, by the way. Yeah, Fozzy is the music for TakeOver. Like some deal that Chris Jericho worked out.
Maybe even a 2-week tag team with t-shirts that say AJKO on them. That'd be fine. I'll take that.
That would be the perfect incestual. I mean, like, we already had AJ and Chris Jericho, then they battled, now you have Kevin Owens and AJ battling, then they become a tag team. Like, the only thing we're missing here is the Big Show being somehow involved in all this. I think Kevin Owens retains the championship and AJ quickly moves on to something else, because AJ is going to be in the ladder match at Money in the Bank. He is going to be in that ladder match. After we talk about the real main event on the show, which is Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal, I want to go through who we think as of right now, because it never seems to work out this way. They always throw like a weird curveball at us and have one or two participants in the Money in the Bank that we would not have guessed. Like, for all we know, Baron Corbin will beat Sami Zayn. And because Sami Zayn's gimmick is that he keeps getting opportunities when he doesn't deserve them, he'll somehow be in the ladder match. Makes no sense. But they just put Sami Zayn in stuff. Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal. This is the main event. Question the number one here. Question, does Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal go on last?
Yes.
Okay. I agree. There's talk. People are thinking that somehow they might put Shinsuke on last or Kevin Owens and AJ, and I don't see it. I think Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal, for sure, goes on last on this pay-per-view. This is the WWE title match. Jinder Mahal getting this one. I like Jinder Mahal. I like what he's done. He's raised his stock in WWE. He's a perfectly acceptable mid-card to upper-card heel when you need an upper-card heel in a pinch. And listen, this is Backlash. Like, we're months away from SummerSlam where everything starts to count again. It's Jinder Mahal getting the main event of Backlash. Perfectly fine. If you're a hater of this, quit hating. Just watch the pay-per-view. Enjoy it. Don't enjoy it if you don't want to, but in the grand scheme of things, it's Backlash. Jeff, what do you think about Randy Orton and Jinder?
I think my note that I noticed last night stands. I think Jinder's issue is not because he's so tall, but he's right in between being a big man and being not a big man, that he hasn't decided which offensive moveset he wants.
He should just take the Young Bucks moveset.
Look, I see people going, you know what? I'm setting the floor on this at 3¾ stars. I'm like, I'm not going to go that far. Whatever. I think this match could be better than I expect. I don't think it's going to be that good, to be honest with you.
I think Randy Orton's going to bring his working shoes on here. And when Randy Orton brings the working shoes, usually that means all-time classic. So
I think Randy's going to do a dive at least once.
Yeah.
During this match. Just a troll Twitter.
You should. Did you like the whole Randy Orton Twitter beef with Bully Ray and others over the week?
Here's my take on this. I think Randy has some valid points, but I also think Randy shouldn't be the one to be making them, given that two guys from that background have made him look brilliant, taking the RKO, doing dives and whatnot. You know what, for all of Randy's kind of superiority in terms of WWE style, I mean, there are guys like me who prefer another territorial style over and finds WWE style far too formulaic.
Well, if you're unfamiliar, Randy Orton had a Rip Rogers, Randy Orton's former trainer in OVW. Rip Rogers made a comment about how all the indie matches are the same these days. And Randy Orton went through and kind of reiterated that comment and made fun of dives and how every indie match has the same stuff in it. And that's a criticism that fans of independent wrestling have had. It's not like this came out of nowhere, that all indie matches, like the top of the line ones, not your opening match in an ROH show by any means, but your top of the line indie matches all seem to have the same exact formula. Now that's been a criticism. Well, hold on. That's been a criticism.
I just want to add something. It just wasn't the dives. It was the thanking the opponent on social media.
Oh, yeah, that was a big part of it. Yep,
that was having, you know, you guys should book these people, that kind of Twitter campaigning and things of that nature.
Yeah, it's like, this is a wrestling match. We're battling here. Oh, we're actually best friends, and you should have these guys on your show. But part of that's been a valid criticism of Randy Orton matches, too, is that all of his matches tend to be the same. When Randy Orton... a lot of his matches, especially his TV matches, yes, have been the same. His pay-per-view matches are not always the same. And he tends to shine on pay-per-views, like, and that's no big surprise. Like, you talk about Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura has the same match on house shows. He had the same match on house shows in New Japan. He has the same match on house shows here in WWE. And then he changes it up for the big shows. He knows what the big shows are. And these are guys who have been in the ring for 15 plus years, and they're saving their bodies for when the matches actually mean something. And that's okay. Randy Orton, you talked about how, you know, Matt Sydal taking the RKO and some of these guys who do flips and dives. Matt Sydal didn't have those matches. He didn't have his independent wrestling matches in WWE, and the crowd still liked him. He had different style of matches, and he brought that high-flying stuff to the WWE style.
I was actually thinking when I said that, I remembered Sydal, but I had Neville and Seth Rollins in mind.
But that's why it's so cool when they take the RKOs like that, because you don't see it all the time.
Right.
That's why it is so cool. I'm not saying there was a right or a wrong part of this argument, but I think a lot of people that are hating strictly on Randy Orton are out of line. I think a lot of people who are, you know, praising Randy Orton, and there are some, you know, Dave Bautista made a comment that got some traction. about agreeing with Randy Orton there. I don't think either side is kind of 100% there in any way.
No, I think everybody's wrong and everybody's a little bit right in this whole thing.
Everybody's wrong. Everybody's right. Mostly I'm right and you're wrong. Is that a thing? No,
that's never been a thing. Nobody's ever said that in any context.
Boo.
Ever.
Boo, I say.
They always say, man, Rob, how do you have such bad takes?
Oh, come on. I'm the greatest of all time. Anyway, most anticipated match on this Backlash show.
Hold on, we haven't picked winners of this match.
Randy Orton's winning. Come on. I think Randy Orton RKOs all three of them, too. He RKOs both of the Bollywood boys. He RKOs Jinder. And the crowd goes home happy, I guess. Randy Orton gets the win.
I think Rusev runs in.
Ooh.
I think there's a possibility that he kicks Orton and somehow gets Jinder the pin.
And you think Jinder wins the world's title?
I think through a screw job, he might. I think there's a chance that they just shake it up for that 2 months just to make it a little bit interesting. I do. I was convinced of this last night by someone that I had no inclination, because every week Jinder's been getting the best of Randy. So yeah. There's no logical reason to say that Randy doesn't get his win back, much like the same way Baron Corbin should get his win back, much the same reason the babyfaces should win the sixth man. That's logical WWE booking, but I could see them just throwing a complete curveball here just to see what happens for a month or two, and they can always take the belt back off. And I think that at least it's a triple threat at Money in the Bank between Rusev, Jinder Mahal, and Orton. I'm not going to guarantee that Jinder wins the belt, but I think there's a good chance.
All right. There you have it, everybody. Jeff Hawkins guaranteeing that Jinder Mahal is your new WWE champion of SmackDown. That is WWE Backlash. What is the most anticipated match on Jeff Hawkins' Backlash card? Harkins. What are you? Hawkins, Horkins, Herkins, Herkins? What are you most looking forward to on this show? And the answer may surprise you.
I think it's Shinsuke's pay-per-view
what?
Debut.
And to see
if he, you know, pulls out, event style.
This is Austin Aries and Shinsuke to me when they had, Shinsuke's second match in NXT on the TakeOver when he wrestled like Austin Aries. And I'm like, this was a match no one needed to see. I know how it's going to play out. It's not going to be any good. It could be a train wreck.
This match I saw probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I admit that. That's the sad part. I mean, look, after that, it's probably the tag team title match.
I'm looking forward. Number three to me is the tag team title match. Number two is Kevin Owens, AJ. And number one is Randy Orton, Jinder.
Oh. Yeah, I just think I've dismissed Kevin Owens, AJ, because I think I know what the story is. So yeah. That's my problem. That's on me.
It's AJ Styles, so I think he's going to pull out a great one. Yes, a lot of the match is going to be focused probably on the knee, and that will be a lot slower than a lot of people would hope for with AJ Styles, but I think you'll be entertained. And especially, I mean, listen, you have, what, seven matches on this pay-per-view, and Luke Harper Rowan's probably not going super long. The six-woman tag team match I don't see going too incredibly long because you can go kind of rapid fire with these women, but maybe it'll go 10 plus. I'm not sure. I think it's an interesting show. I really do. I mean, it's fine for a Sunday night. It's not the greatest pay-per-view of all time. I don't think it's going to exceed too many expectations. I think it's going to be an average show, but it's interesting. I mean, listen, Jinder Mahal is in the main event of show, and whether you like that or not,
it's interesting.
That's interesting. That is something. And we'll see if Jinder Mahal can kind of grow his status over the year, or if he just gets sent right back down, and who knows, maybe he's Alberto Del Rio at the end of the year. Came up, beat John Cena, and then 3 months later, he's nobody. Maybe that happens with Jinder too. But that is WWE Backlash happening on Sunday night.
Guys and gals, we've been telling you about Blue Apron for months here on Shake Them Ropes. And if you have not taken the time to try them out, it is time now. Don't wait any longer. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. So if you are relying on fast food or just don't think you have the time to go shopping for ingredients or don't have the time to cook, try out Blue Apron. You'll be surprised at the great meals you yourself can make.
Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains, you can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Try some of these upcoming meals from Blue Apron. Beef teriyaki stir fry with super snap peas and lime rice. 3 cheese and baby broccoli stromboli. Crispy salmon and roasted potato salad. And much, much more. Not all ingredients are created equal, guys. You got to try Blue Apron. Get the freshest ingredients to your door and have fun cooking. Right now, you can check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/shake. That's blueapron.com/shake. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. blueapron.com/shake. That's blueapron.com/shake. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. We have on Saturday, Jeff, NXT TakeOver. Now, I mentioned before, on Friday, the UK special airs, and Pete Dunne and Trent Seven, I believe it's Trent Seven, they have a match for the number one contendership to battle for the UK title at TakeOver, happening in Chicago. Now, I don't believe WWE is really promoting this heavily as a live special. It will be funny if on Friday they are airing it as if it is a live special, because that would be one hell of a turnaround of Pete Dunne wrestling in the UK on Friday afternoon and then Saturday night at TakeOver is in Chicago. And I know it's not out of the realm of possibility. WWE does it all the time, but he's wrestling on Saturday in Chicago.
No, because the UK title. No, because on NXT this week, they were plugging the Tyler Bate Pete Dunne match.
Okay, were they
all week? So they've already tipped their hand.
That's fine then. Oh, that's good. But you have Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate for the UK title. Did you know, Jeff, that Tyler Bate, and maybe it's Tyler Bates, I'm not sure. I guess it's probably
it's singular.
No, I know Tyler Bate the wrestler is singular. The guy who does the music for some of the Marvel movies is Tyler Bates.
Okay.
Wonder if he got the name from that. I wonder where Tyler Bate got his name. It's not his real name, is it? I don't think it is. Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Were you going to go somewhere with that?
No, I was just saying, I was thinking of it. Cause I'm like, you can't miss it. You were watching Guardians of the Galaxy and Tyler Bate.
The thoughts that come in your head sometimes they just, the randomness of crap you think about, just it's stunning to me and I love it, but it frustrates me too, because I'm like, okay, here comes Rob controlling Jeff being Goofy McWacky Ball over here, and then you go into, do you think he took his name from the guy who does music for the Marvel movies? I just go, what?
But did he?
No.
Okay, Jeff, give me a hot take on the UK title match.
I know a lot of people think that they're going to give it to Dunne here, but I think it's too early to take it off base. Oh. They haven't done anything to build him.
Well, Pete Dunne's winning. Pete Dunne is winning. You say they haven't done anything to build Tyler Bate. His title reign has been nothing. And that's not really a criticism of Tyler Bate. I mean, it's been a while.
He's had one defense. He's had one defense.
He had a couple of defenses on house shows. Yeah, he had a couple defenses on house shows. He's wrestled. He's wrestled more. He had a defense against Mark Haskins, didn't he, on one of the NXT shows?
Screw the match. I want him, Seven, and Dunne to reform their Progress stable and just kill guys. And then they build the UK thing around a horseman-like stable, and I'm happy. That's what I want. But
and they never defend the UK title against Englishmen? They defend it just against NXT guys?
Yeah, they just defend it, against like Wolfgang twice a month and beat him up 3-on-1.
Right.
Be great.
I think Dunne's winning. I think the Tyler Bate title reign is over. I think we're going to start to see if they do this UK weekly show, or if Pete Dunne just wrestles a lot more on NXT. I think we're getting something out of the UK title, because Tyler Bate so far has done nothing with it. And again, not a criticism of Tyler Bate. They haven't really had him do much with it, but he has defended the championship, UK championship, Wikipedia. I want to say he's defended it at least 2 times on television.
Tyler Bate is his real name.
How do you know that?
The internet told me.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, good for Tyler Bate having the real name of Tyler Bate. He has had, what does this say? One defense.
The Jack Gallagher one.
I thought for sure he wrestled Mark Haskins.
No,
in NXT, I thought for sure.
He may have had, I can remember that too for some reason.
Maybe
I
it know was on had, Access. Had, it was probably well,
he
on
had a,
Access.
He had an Oney Lorcan match, but that wasn't for the title.
Oh, yeah. I'm mixing up a couple of different things. Probably, but that's okay. So he's had one defense, Jack Gallagher. I think the Tyler Bate reign is over. I think he won it. He had this big thing. He's defending it on this UK special on Friday. Maybe that's the Mark Haskins match I'm thinking of, actually.
Okay.
So he's defending it on Friday. So there, you have a defense. And then, you know, he's tired from his defense, whatever. And he slips on a banana peel and Pete Dunne wins. There you have it.
I'm fine with Dunne. Let's put it this way. I'm fine if Dunne wins. Fine if Bate wins.
I am. I like Pete Dunne. He's doing pretty good. So that's your UK championship match. We finally figured out what Roderick Strong's doing. Roderick Strong versus Eric Young. This has to be a strong win. No pun intended, actually, for Roderick Strong. I think I would like to see it go 7 or 8 minutes, no more, because I think the longer an Eric Young match goes, the more boring it becomes and the less likely it is to have anyone there at the end. So Roderick Strong, Eric Young, Roderick's got to get the win here and impressive fashion. And you know what? He should probably take out Wolf and Killian. What I fear is going to happen is that after Young loses or wins due to interference from these two guys, I have a feeling that Wolf and Killian are going to keep attacking Roderick. And maybe we get someone helping him like a Cassius Ohno or who knows, even a Kyle O'Reilly, maybe. But I want to see Strong get the win here.
I think they'd be smart to do, you know, your standard 5 to 6 minute match. They end up throwing out Sanity due to trying to interfere. And then that last couple minutes is him and Eric Young one-on-one and he gets the clean pin.
Okay. Yeah.
I do agree. They need to pay off these vignettes because they've been magic for Roddy Strong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see another, because they've been doing that the past few weeks with the hero, Ty Dillinger, Roddy Strong faction against Sanity. I don't need another gang fight. I need a strong single win from Roddy, and I need no aftermath.
No aftermath. I really don't know why you took a shot at Dr. Dre there out of nowhere. We're talking about wrestling, but whatever. That's what you choose to do. The authors of Pain, Akam and Rezar, are taking on DIY and Jeff Hawkins. Is this the end of DIY?
How so? A botched double powerbomb spot?
Is Tommaso Ciampa going to get tired of this Johnny Gargano character?
Oh, you think the turn's coming?
I think the breakup's coming.
Oh, I don't.
I don't think
they don't have any face tag teams on this roster.
Excuse me. Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss.
Those are not baby faces.
I don't know how you could say they're heels.
They're heels.
They're probably the best guys, the goodest guys there are.
When you cut out and you cut a promo talking about how good you look compared to the guys in the ring and how athletic you are compared to the guys, your heels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
If you say so.
No, I think the authors of Pain retain. You know me, I want my headhunters moonsaulting off ladders action, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I think there's going to be some great moves here. But I think the big guys win. And you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing the breakup.
Wouldn't mind seeing the breakup. In Chicago, no less. I guess the only worst place it could have been is Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, I think the breakup's coming. I think the authors of Pain get the victory here. We have someone is calling in, but I can't add it to the call, so I'm going to have to sadly ignore it. They're calling on a regular phone line. So I made this, I wanted to see if we would get any calls. I tweeted about taking calls, but I can't do it.
So you made a promise. Oh man, this is so pro wrestling.
Oh my God.
You made a promise and you didn't deliver.
I can't, what do you want me to just take it and then put you on hold?
You're the one who asked for calls.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to take it and put you on. Hello, caller 773. Your name and where you're calling from.
Anthony from Chicago.
Anthony from Chicago. Chicago, are you going to any of the WWE shows this weekend?
So, I got two questions.
Okay. What are they?
Well, obviously we didn't see Rusev on SmackDown. No. What are the odds we see him show up at the end of Backlash and Attack Horton? And number two, what if they pull a swerve and Adam Cole shows up at Money in the Bank?
Well, I don't think Adam Cole is showing up at Money in the Bank. He'd be more likely to show up at a takeover. I don't think he's showing up at this takeover, but I have surmised that we're seeing Kyle O'Reilly at this takeover, and Jeff Hawkins is with you. Jeff Hawkins believes that we are seeing Rusev at the end of Orton and Jinder Mahal, and he might get into the title picture in earnest. So yes, I think it is likely we are seeing Rusev this weekend. I just don't know exactly if that will happen. As far as takeover, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, any of the other names bantied about, I think the most likely to show up this weekend is Kyle O'Reilly. Are you going to any of the shows?
Yeah.
Both of them, or which one?
I'm going to TakeOver and...
Okay. Which one are you most excited for?
Owens and Styles.
Owens and Styles. Yes, I think that's in my top three of the weekend as well. Well, I hope you, thanks for calling in. I hope you enjoy the weekend there in Chicago, and hope you'll catch out our Shake Them Ropes episode next week where we review all the shows. So thank you so much, Anthony from Chicago, for calling in. Let's try and get Jeff back here. He's going to be very mad at me. He's going to be very mad.
Let me guess. It was Danny.
It was Anthony from Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yes, a very, very exhilarating call from Anthony in Chicago. Basically called you a dumb fuck for all of your predictions. I thought it was very rude, so I did kick him off of the line.
That's a lie, because you would keep him on forever to stroke your own ego.
That is not true. That is not accurate at all. He did bring up a question that I have for you, Jeff. Any chance Adam Cole shows up on TakeOver on Saturday?
I think there's a small chance, but I don't think I think there's a better chance of one of the Stardom women being seen in the audience.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's we can see Io Shirai. We can see Hojo. We can see, I think Kyle O'Reilly is probably the most likely.
O'Reilly would be a good one too. Yeah. Because Adam Cole's doing that, indie tournament, I don't see him showing up on TV.
Right. Yeah. That's true. We have, did you give a prediction? Do you think DIY is winning the titles? Do you think Authors of Pain are winning?
No, I think Authors of Pain retain.
I agree. Very sad Ember Moon hurt out of this match. There's some controversy whether this injury is legit or just a storyline to get her out of the way of Asuka for right now. But Asuka's she's defending her title against Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross, Triple Threat. We went into this one probably the most in-depth last week than we did any of these other matches, because it is probably the one I'm most intrigued by, because I don't know who's going to win. I think it's Nikki Cross. All I know is Asuka is probably the odds-on favorite to lose her championship.
I think Nikki Cross gets it, and then they tell the story of Ember and Asuka trying to regain the championship.
Mm-hmm. Ember trying to regain her title opportunity, Asuka trying to regain her title.
Mm-hmm. And Ruby Riott being the arch nemesis.
Yeah. I hope they don't do another four-way. Like, I want to see Nikki Cross defend against all three of these women, honestly.
Yes. Yes.
Because that would cement her, because you can have Asuka lose in this three-way so she doesn't get pinned, but the eventual Asuka-Nikki Cross match, if Nikki Cross can cement her title reign by beating her last, like, she goes through Ruby Riott, she goes through Ember Moon, and all of a sudden it's Asuka. Like, Asuka never lost her belt in earnest. We have this big Asuka-Nikki Cross match. Even if they spread it out for a while, like, we could see this match in November on Survivor Series weekend, for all I know. I would like them to do something like that where they stretch it out.
Yeah, I think what happens is it becomes the ascent of Ember Moon, who eventually beats Nikki to get the title. And then Asuka comes back and goes, hey, I never lost it. Maybe Ember takes out Asuka for a while. Who knows?
Hmm. All I know is this is definitely in my top three.
This is the match I'm looking forward to most.
It is in my top three of most anticipated matches of the weekend. Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton, Asuka, Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross. One that is certainly interesting, and our good friend Rovert on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. Rovert has mentioned, he posted a screen cap, and I guess if you really thought about it, you would probably come to the same conclusion and realize this as well. But this is Hideo Itami's third takeover match only.
Mm-hmm.
Only his third.
And he's not winning it.
They're
not pulling the trigger.
Yeah. Is it true? Because what were his other ones? What were his other takeover matches? He had the match with... He was in the finals, right? No, maybe he wasn't because Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. Yeah, I don't know.
No, the year he was in the tag team tournament, he got hurt. Remember, right. They did the parking lot angle. I think...
Was Finn Balor and Hideo Itami against the Ascension a takeover match? It was, wasn't it? So that's one.
Okay.
And then his other one was...
Was there a Ty Dillinger one?
No, I believe his second one would have been against Andrade Almas.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I think those are probably the two. If I'm just going off of the top of my head, I think those are the only two. Because I don't know what else, you know, what else he could have done. Because the Austin Aries wasn't a match, right? He just came out and beat up Austin Aries.
Correct.
Yeah. Now that I'm looking it up, he wrestled Tyler Breeze on a takeover. I actually do remember that. Did he not wrestle Andrade Almas on a takeover? Andrade Almas, Hideo Itami. That must have been on NXT TV. Must not have been on a takeover, but... Okay. What are you going to do? Andrade almost debuts at NXT TakeOver The End. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, Hideo Itami and Bobby Roode for the world title. Again, surprise. We didn't expect Hideo Itami to be in the title match on this show early on, but here he is. He's wrestling Bobby Roode, and Bobby Roode is probably going to go right through him. I don't see Hideo Itami winning this one. The question is, they're in Chicago. Does he hit the GTS, and how does the crowd react?
Yeah. I was going to ask you the same thing.
How do they react to it?
I think he hits the GTS. I think they pop big for it. I think they tease it all match. And then I think Bobby Roode kicks out.
Okay. He kicks out of the GTS. And then they just start healing on him so big.
Yeah, and then you get a CM Punk chant, probably.
Yeah. Which is what you need in the main event of a takeover, right? A CM Punk chant. I don't know if he hits it. Maybe he doesn't even go for it. He's got to, though.
Chicago, you have to hit it. You have to hit it. He has to reclaim it.
It's his. It's his move. Do it. We both kind of answered this question already. Most anticipated match is the triple threat for the women's title. Your most anticipated match of the entire weekend is?
Same.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, it's in my top three. I don't really have a one. I just have a couple of things I'm bullet pointing, I'm looking out for. Be on the lookout for the Shake Them Ropes feed. If we feel like it, we might have a show after either TakeOver or Backlash. We'll see what happens with the weekend. Anything else for the people, Jeff, before we head on into this crazy weekend in Chicago?
Quick note for you history fans. Doug Summers, Pretty Boy Doug Summers, passed away this week. And if you're a big fan of Shawn Michaels, you should go seek out the entire run of the program between Doug Summers and his tag team partner Playboy Buddy Rose in the AWA versus the Midnight Rockers of Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, because it's really where Shawn Michaels got a lot of his wrestling education, was in that program. There are two great tag team programs that Michaels and Jannetty did in the AWA, them and Bad Company, which was Tanaka and Diamond, but the Playboy Buddy Rose and Doug Summers tag team were surprisingly good, which is very weird. Most people won't know who Doug Summers was because he only had, I think, like he had one WCW match against Van Hammer at a Halloween Havoc where he got squashed. And I think he had some enhancement matches for WWF in the mid-90s, early 90s. But AWA, that tag team was where he really made his name, and it's worth seeking out to go watch him and Rose versus the Midnight Rockers, because the angles, the matches, they're all great.
We have breaking news, Jeff.
Oh.
John Cena in an interview with Variety Magazine. Actually, it sounds like it was a Variety podcast, but whatever. John Cena says this, and it was really fun, and there's more on the way, so I'm very much looking forward to it. I have seen Tex Ferguson unleashed. Be on the lookout for more Tex Ferguson. He is a superstar. He is just a superstar. Jeff Hawkins, Southpaw Regional Wrestling, is coming back!